Blog Talk Radio.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is an organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I saw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under I Ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the streetlight watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common need. And all my comrades is ready, he just spreading the seed.
Yeah, black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We're tired of that, corporations hiring black. Denying the fact, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathing it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's CeeLo for push-ups now, many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others, from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast we call Black Power Radio. I want to definitely open up saying black power to my people, power to the people. First and foremost, I want to say my people, black people. The so-called African-American, the so-called Negro, the original people. I mean, why do I say that? I say that because we need power. Now look, We got a very, very exciting show to you and for you tonight, as we're bringing to you a longtime veteran in the struggle, a longtime champion in the cause, and a longtime warrior on the front line. He's a man who really needs no introduction, but it's fitting that we introduce him because this man is continuously renewing himself. And let me repeat myself when I say that. He doesn't need an introduction, but he do need an introduction because he's always renewing himself. It's a black man who has fought on the front lines since the late 80s, has sacrificed much of his college career, law career, professional career, and family life to fight on the front lines for the liberation struggle of our people. So he's always due his honor, and he's always due his respect. And whenever you see him, you got to salute him. Wherever you at in the hills of North America, wherever you at in Africa, wherever you at in the Caribbean, or wherever you at, period, when you see him, and you go see him, because he's well over 6 foot, when you see him, you got to salute him. Because he's been in this thing for over a decade. And he ain't got weaker. And he ain't punked out. And he ain't sissified. He's holding the line. He's coming the line of the vine of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. He's raised up great men and women such as myself, General Hashim and Ziga, and others. And he's a black man who has maintained the course. He is the president and CEO, if you want to use that term, of Black Lawyers for Justice. And he's fighting on behalf of a black man down in Virginia, in St. Petersburg, Virginia, young Devin Thomas, who was assaulted and accosted by the police. I'm going to let him tell you about all of that. And we're going to pick his brain. But y'all got to help me welcome the brother who, and the black man who, is the chairman and manager of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And as I tell you, once a chairman, always a chairman. Of course, once a general, always a general. And if these crackers can, if they can honor Schwarzkopf, if they can honor Colin Powell and his line behind, if they can honor all these other generals, then when we bring this general to you, you guys are honored. So I don't want to belabor the point, opening up in the name of the black God, the God of our forefathers and foremothers, opening up in the name of our ancestors, giving thanks to all the Panther regiments, giving thanks to our National Central Committee, giving thanks to our upstart in Dallas, Texas, thanking our national chairman, Mr. Hashim and Jacob. Brothers and sisters, help me to welcome to Black Pod Radio, Chairman Emeritus of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and President of Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, you with me, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. And Black Power to you, Minister Sean Kwali, and Black Power to all of you in the radio listening audience. I'm very happy and honored to be on Black Power Radio. As you well know, I feel well at home. I feel right,
sir,
comfortable here by the fireside here at Black Power Radio, because I am one of the blessed by God to be one of the co-founders of Black Power Radio. And certainly I am blessed in this hour to still hold the title of Chairman Emeritus of the new Black Panther Party, because much of my life and much of my adult revolutionary life, 13 years of it to be exact, was spent chairing the organization and succeeding my mentor and my revolutionary guide, Minister and Dr. Khalid Muhammad. So in the name of God and the ancestors, I'm happy to be on tonight. I'm happy to be with my family tonight. And I have a lot to share with you tonight. I have intentionally not come on radio here or anywhere in a while. I have had to take time out to strategize and prepare and to go within the laboratory of study and self-development so that I may be a better servant for our people. Also, as Minister Sean Kwali has said, a process of renewal. We see the process of renewal in the African symbol of the Sankofa bird returning within to evolve again to a high level, but you must return to the source. And so
that's right.
On this line tonight, there's a lot I would like to talk about tonight. I certainly want all of you all to open up the phone lines, and I want you to have a chance to have a word with me. I want to talk about the general state of black people here in America and around the world, the general state and condition of our people, the economic condition of our people here in America and around the world, the political condition of our people in America and around the world, the state of our education, of our youth and our people, the state of the black family, the state of the black man around the world, and what we are doing about it as a movement, and what I believe that we should be doing about it as a movement. And when I speak of movement here, I mean the entire black movement. So tonight I would like to talk to, of course, the new Black Panther Party, new comrades and longtime comrades. Of course, I want to talk to other Black Panther organizations, talk to the Black Riders Liberation Party, talk to other Panther believers, Panther ideologues and stalwarts from the 60s and beyond today, and those who are sitting on the fence who are thinking about coming into the new Black Panther Party. And after you hear what I have to say tonight, you will know that it's time for you to make your move and come across the water and come across the bridge into the ranks of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. I also want to talk to the Nation of Islam, all of the black Muslims who are tuning in on the line tonight. I want to talk to the black church here tonight and our black family, black Baptists, black Methodists, and black Holy Ghost and Holy Rollers in the radio listening audience. I want to talk to the hip-hop crowd tonight and those that are into the rap music and the hip-hop music. Tonight, I want to talk to the youth. I want to talk to the black man and the black woman about our condition, our liberation, and our hopes for salvation out of this hell of a situation. And so I'm just happy to be on and to open up. I do want to say as I begin this broadcast and begin to take questions, I do want to say that it is a very critical time right now in the hills of North America as we are in this month of July. It is a critical and crucial time for a new generation to rise up, a critical and a crucial time for new leadership to come forth. It is a critical and crucial time for all of our preparation, all of our study. It is a critical time now that we prepare to man up and move out on the battlefield and be where we need to be here and all over the 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth. So I will bring you a frontline battle reports tonight from where I am on the battlefield and where I'm preparing to go. And as we know, these lines are monitored by the CIA. And these lines are monitored by NSA. And these lines are monitored by FBI. And as we well know, we don't give a damn about none of them crackers. We are here for the liberation and salvation of black man and woman. We don't fear none but God. None but God. Good evening. I'm back on Black Power Radio. And goddammit, I'm making trouble again. Making goddamn trouble. I'm happy to get... Come on, Black Power Radio, because I know I can find God and the devil here on Black Power Radio. So in honor to the chairman of the new Black Panther Party, who's serving now as the chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga, and to the hard-working, hard-driving chief of staff of the new Black Panther Party, who's holding the ropes and holding the lines, Minister Sean Kwali, and all the rest of you comrades all throughout the hills of North America and in Africa. We are one. We are family. We got big plans, and we got big actions. And so I'll be updating you tonight on the work of Black Lawyers for Justice is doing against these police, these out of control, brutalizing police departments all over America. I'll get into that and the work that we're doing and fighting them in the courtrooms and in the streets of the hills of North America out here dealing toe-to-toe with these police. And I'll tell you also tonight where we need the new Black Panther Party, where we need the Nation of Islam, where we need the activists out here in this battle against police brutality and against a whole host of other abnormalities here in the hills of North America. Soldiers are desperately needed. Troops are desperately needed. We need relief on the front lines. And I can tell you where the front lines are in the hills of North America. And so I want to get into the work of Black Lawyers for Justice as it's moving on a higher level, and the work that I'm doing as the Attorney General of the operation, but also how it relates to the movement, about how now the movement is needed stronger and more than ever so that we can build this united front and begin to tackle these problems. Tonight we will talk about the worldwide Pan-African Convention, a worldwide Pan-African Convention, and we are inviting revolutionaries from over 100 countries. From over 100 countries where Black people are all over the planet, but we are now sending out letters and correspondence, and how the pioneers who went there last year, a few of them on this phone line, we will be spearheading another giant effort overseas. And it is our time for the changing of the guard of the world. It is our time. It is our generation whose responsibility it is to carry this struggle forward. And so I will open up by saying that these will be some of the subjects I will touch on. I want to touch on Shabazz University that is set to open September 1st, right around the time of the Million Youth March. The Shabazz University, which will be hosted online, our online university, and we are in the laboratory right now and set to come out as we must build our own schools and educate our own people, and educate our own youth, and take our children's minds away from our enemies. I will detail the plan that will be rolled out on September 1st. I will talk tonight also about the Book of College, that details the life of one of the greatest Black men ever to walk the planet Earth, and details his true teachings, his true ideology, his true facts about his childhood, his family. It's going to be one of the greatest books you've ever read. You got to have it. It's in the laboratory now. We're working. It's coming out. The Book of Khaled is on its way out, due out by Kwanzaa time. I want to talk about and some other projects we're working on. ShabazzTrade.com, which is set to open on October the 1st. The African and Black marketplace where the Black entrepreneur, the Black vendor, the Black businessman, the Black international distributor, the Black multimillionaire, to the Black man selling some oils on the damn corner, ShabazzTrade.com, set to come out. And so we're working, sisters and brothers. I'm giving you a tip to open up. We're working, but I want to put it all in context. All of this got to be put into context. I watched Saturday, and I watched the CNN special, the 60s. And although the white has his own twisted and distorted version of what the 60s really was and is, he's never going to give you the truth the way we would give it to you, because he controls that in the media. But nevertheless, I still was inspired by the parts of the truth that were known, because many martyrs have gone before us. Many martyrs have gone before us as we wear this red, black, and green, as we claim this struggle, as we say that we are the inheritors of this. What is this we inherit? We inherit the blood of Mecca Evers. We inherit the blood of Dr. King. We inherit now the struggle as he is behind bars and sick. We inherit the blood-stained struggle of Imam Jamil Al-Amin, H-Rap Brown.
Right.
We inherit the blood of Kwame Ture, of Stokely Carmichael. We inherit the blood of these men who are true revolutionaries, and they are truly men sent by God. Whether they acknowledge it or not, they were sent by God.
Go ahead.
And as I said it before, and I want to say it on this radio line tonight, that when it comes to Stokely Carmichael or Kwame Ture, that when it comes to H-Rap Brown or Imam Jamil Al-Amin, when it comes to the Honorable Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton, they are as sacred and divine to us as to any of the prophets in the Bible. And so if
that's
you're in the
right.
church hollering about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go on and holler out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I want to talk about Stokely, Rap Brown, and Huey.
Boy.
I want to talk about that. And we inherit the blood of this struggle. That's my point. We inherit the blood of James Meredith, Medgar Evers, black people who put their lives on the line. They were murdered. They were killed. They gave it all up. They refused to ride buses, eat, shop for months, years on a time. And so what you and I are doing today, we got to understand we can't get cocky with this. We can't forget that those went before us, struggled harder than us, faced harder odds than us, face more risk of death than us, and I say that we should be standing up and fighting like hell in this day and time to finish off the job that our foremothers and forefathers waged for us. I don't agree with nonviolence. I don't agree that I have a dream that I will sit down and have lunch or tea with the slave master of my enemy. But I will tell you this, I do agree with a black man that'll know the goddamn white citizens' council is laying with guns for him. Know that the Klan is laying with guns and bombs for him. Knowing that they want his life, and he still gets up and heads out on the battlefield to fight for justice for his people. And that's the kind of goddamn spirit we need today. The kind of spirit I come to inspire you all to stand up today. Whatever I say that I'm thinking I'm doing on this tonight, whatever I say I'm doing or have done, let's put it into context. I should be doing what I'm doing, and I got to do goddamn better, because many who went before us gave it all up, and I'm giving it all too. But goddamn it, these people that went before us, we are unworthy to unlace or to lace their shoes. As we have come in this era now, 2014. So I open up and say that, and I give it back to my host. I love y'all, Black Power. Mr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, I'm on this Black Power Radio. Open line.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, welcome home, sir. You know, we got a lot to cover. It's been a minute, but we can take our time. We got some hours, plus, you know, the lines is packed and people is waiting. So let's get right into it. You opened up with the state of the black race. I want to start there before we get off into what you're doing with Black Lawyers for Justice. You said the state of the black race. What is the state of the black race? Where are we at? What's going on? What's happening out here?
There are highs and lows, my dear brother. There are encouraging signs as well. There are many troubling signs. But above all, I think I want to say that there is optimism for our future as a people if we move in the right direction. The educational system, as it is right now, and the state of black youth is right now precarious. It has positives and negatives. In some senses, the statistical indicators as compared to, say, the 1990s and earlier, show that, in general, violence is down. Even though it don't look like it from the look of Chicago or even the recent spike in violent crime in New York City, overall, if we look at the rate of what's called black-on-black violence or crime since the early 90s and the height of the crack cocaine war, if we look at it right now, violence technically is down. And that means to the black man and black woman out here that there's a chance, that there's a chance because all the crack has been sold, that goddamn it, going to be sold. And all of the dope that's going to be sold is going to continue to be sold, but the ability to get it off and to get paid from it is slowing down. And so the dope game is slowing down, and the amount of black men that are killing each other around that is going down. And so what you have a chance here now is for a new beginning. But then you have problems with the economy. Problems with jobs, problems with brothers and sisters who have records, who have felonies, who cannot become employed, and so therefore still in this hour, even though the killing is down, economic opportunities in the cities of America in general are not up, and that is a serious factor in what that's a factor that affects the revolutionary movement. It's a factor that affects the population. They're trying to make it from check to check. And so that's a factor. If you look in other key areas, when it comes to the area of police abuse, it don't seem like we've made much progress at all. The police departments of America, white officers and black officers continue to lie on the job, continue to cheat on the job, continue to beat black people against the law out of emotion, out of prejudice, out of racism, continue to take the batons to the heads of black people, continue to break their arms, break their backs, injure them, shoot them, kill them without cause or justified reason all over America. It's still going on, and I really don't see it getting any better. So I still have to say that when it comes to the police departments of America and the black man in America and the black nation of America, it's not getting too much better at all. And so tonight will be a discussion on what to do about it, because we are not, and I'm not here, and will not be here on this earth to be talking about what I complain about. I am plotting and planning to do something about it.
That's right.
And I'm getting closer and closer to the point where what I say will come to pass as we get more mature and refine this. But we have to do something about it, and we have to take this war against police abuse to a higher level. It must go to the highest level that it's ever gone to in the courtrooms, in the streets. In a few, I think Brother Bobby Worthy is going to be on shortly, and he is working with us. He's a member of the Panther Party. He's one of the best members, and he also works with his group, the Justice League, side by side with us, and we're going to show you what it means to have a group of lawyers working with a group of cold-blooded activists that don't even need lawyers sometime, and will take and go to the and haul judges and other elected officials into the courtrooms. We'll get into that in another moment. There's a war brewing up down here in Waycross, Georgia. And so what I'm telling you is that I can tell you firsthand, as I'm fighting on the front lines in Petersburg, Virginia, with the case of young Devin Thomas with his iPhone, merely observing the police stopping a black man in his neighborhood or in a neighborhood, certainly at a reasonable distance, and because he just wouldn't move when the police told him to get out of the way. You know how they roll up on an apartment complex and tell everybody, get out of the way, get out of the way, call them cockroaches, call them niggas, and everybody goes running because we have been conditioned to be scared of the police. But young Devin was not scared of the police. He was not a Black Panther. He was not a Black Muslim. He was not a Black rider. He was a young 19-year-old Black man who just decided he wanted to exercise his rights and to videotape the public, the police, who he pays for as a citizen,
yes,
pays their salary, and he paid a bloody price as they took him to the ground and beat the young man. But they thought that they would take him to the ground and beat him, but they had forgot his cell. They were so intent on beating him that they didn't even get the hold of the damn cell phone, fortunately. That's how the video got out. And also, they didn't count on the fact that he was not a punk, and this young man would stand up, and he has stood up in this hour, and he has gotten the right lawyers. He has gotten the right lawyers in this hour, and he has gotten the right warriors in this hour, and he has, and there's a whole campaign. There's a whole campaign that is in motion right now for Devin Thomas. I'll fill in the details shortly. What am I saying, Black people, to sum it up? Police brutality is a serious problem. I can tell you personally about it from the cases that I am in on and fighting for right now, but I also can tell you that we need a national strategy. And we need a national strategy right now, and it's calling and begging for the new Black Panther Party to get involved in. When you look at other areas, from my dear brother, there are areas we're doing good in and there are areas that we're doing not so good in. We have social media. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have all of these radio shows. We have the ability to access conscious information at all times, and that is a good thing. In the 90s, we had to find us a newspaper, find us a videotape of Khalid Muhammad. We had to go and find us a lecture somewhere. But today, information is everywhere. That's a good thing.
All over.
But on the other hand, goddammit, some of us have gotten lazy. On the other hand, some of us have traded the streets for the seat. Some of us have traded the streets for the computer seat and have thought that and have mistaken that we can type our way to liberation. And that is not going to happen. And so we have to address that. We have to get some critical analysis on that. So what I want to do is just touch on these points and open up. There are good things happening in the Black nation. We saw some of the FOI and others in New York City with Brother Dr. Wesley Muhammad, who was our brother, our comrade in the struggle. We saw them move in the Brooklyn Hip Hop Fest with Jay-Z and the other brother, Jay Electronica, and others. We saw them moving in the streets the way we used to see the FOI in the early 90s. When conscious hip-hop was at its fever pitch. And we also see, on the other hand, the new Black Panther Party with Minister Hashim and Nzinga moving on the ground with Lil Boosie and other areas. These are encouraging signs. These are signs that the rappers could be waking up and that the youth can be shaken up. These are encouraging signs, but they must be accelerated in this hour. And they must be made more meaningful in this hour. And so let me just open up by saying that, and then we'll go on further. I think as Black people right now, we're on the verge of a breakthrough worldwide. We're on the verge of a breakthrough worldwide. But I think what we do as leaders, in Africa, Zania, South Africa, Chris St. Carr, the PAC, and the other revolutionaries listening on this line, what we do in this hour as a movement will determine where our people go. We stand on the shoulders of martyrs.
Yes, sir. It makes perfect sense. Now, this young brother, Devin Thomas, you say he was simply exercising his right. He was filming the police, and you say they took him to the ground. Is this a nationwide epidemic going around now with the police where people who filmed them are being accosted? I've heard a couple other cases. Is this happening more and more? What's the relevance of what's happening with Devin Thomas?
Well,
right now?
Let's take a look at it. What it is that technology is catching up to the police and those that are engaged in the police departments in dirty work. And so because we now have iPhones, because we now have higher technology with cameras and the ability to videotape, we are much better positioned than the Honorable Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton was and the others were in the late 60s when they were trying to observe police. They were trying to observe them with the naked eye and take a note because video cameras were not out. And then even when video cameras came out, i.e. the Rodney King verdict, that showed the power of video taping, because had that videotape not shown Rodney King being beaten, those pigs would have got away with that. But that videotape, even though we weren't on the internet then, that videotape went national. And that trial of those officers who were acquitted went national. And then when that trial went national, that city went up in flames when those officers, Presenio, Powell, and Coon, and all of them were acquitted. L.A. went up in flames. But it's all linked to that videotape. And so what I'm telling you today is we have iPhones. We have sophisticated technology, and the police don't like it. They are meeting behind. We have now information that we are able to access behind enemy lines. And we know from their roll calls and their instructions that they have been instructed to act as if the camera is a weapon and to be told to lie and to say that the camera that you were holding that they thought or mistook is mistaken for a weapon, and that's why they took you down. And that's why they are trained to take you down and to combat it, because they don't want to be videotaped. They don't want to be videotaped. They already don't like the videotapes that are on the cars of vehicles when we're pulling the stop stuff, because that was forced on them by courts of law and by lawsuits and lawyers going to their neck. And so they took young Devin Thomas down for holding his iPhone and videoing them, and they really even didn't have much to be worried about. It seemed that they were making a lawful arrest, but they were cocky. They were arrogant. They were abusive and intrusive, and they went and took Brother Devin Thomas down and beat him down and bloodied him and gave my client a concussion on that fateful day, June 2014. And since then, it has gone viral. It has gone across the world. It has gone across YouTube. And he got the right lawyers. Like I said last year, going to come a time when some lawyers come on the scene that are not afraid of the activists, but they need the activists. And so when I first went to Petersburg, Virginia, I met with the New Black Panther Party. I met with Salvation Nation. I met with other groups who were supporting him. They were already supporting him. They were called Cop Block, and other people had come to these initial meetings because they had been active around the case. As his lawyer, I didn't discourage the activists. I didn't try to drive them away. I didn't try to put the fire out. I'm not going to say what I did. Y'all already know who you're dealing with. I'm just his lawyer, but I can tell you this, that all of them activists is more on fire and more organized than when I left. And we have to even take it further. And so right now, he is charged, despite all this, he is charged with disorderly conduct. Crazy as hell. He was not disorderly at all. The police were disorderly. He's charged he's charged again with resisting arrest, which is crazy as hell. He wasn't resisting arrest. He was beat down. The real criminals have not been arrested. As I said, at the police station in Petersburg, right on the steps of the police station, that the real criminals have not been arrested. And the real criminals are inside this police station and must be arrested. And that is our legal position, and that is the activist political position. Now, this comes in a town of 31,000 that really have never stood up. But they're standing up right now. There's another case, hot case, that I'm on right here. First of all, right here in Washington, D.C., the lawsuits that were filed earlier this year. I'm talking about Richardson versus the District of Columbia, the young Muslim from Muhammad University of Islam that was just randomly stopped and frisked and thrown on the car in Southeast, symbolizing thousands of other youth around this country and nation that are victims of illegal stop and frisk. His case is now moving through the docket. And the battle is going down in the fall. And the battle is going down in the fall here for him. But in Georgia, we have just taken on the case of Montre Merritt, the star athlete who was racially profiled and pulled over by the officer Corey Gay. I want to say Uncle Tom Officer Corey Gay, but I won't say that simply because I happen to be in the course of litigation, but I heard others saying that his name was called that. You know some of these Uncle Tom. Some of you all know these Uncle Tom cops, and you know that when we're talking about police brutality, we couldn't just be saying it's a white thing. Even though it's a white system, it's not just a white thing. Okay? So again, Montre Merritt jumped on in his own home driveway, sprawled on the pavement, spread eagle, gun to his head, feared for his life, threatened, embarrassed, all over a so-called misdemeanor seatbelt violation, and it wasn't even a damn seatbelt violation at all. It was just a pretext for a jealous, hating, envious one with a uniform and a badge working for his enemy, with the enemy's mind in his head, the enemy's mind in his heart, the enemy's mind in his spirit, a jealous nigga, a hating nigga with a gun on his side, hating his own people. He's one of the most dangerous men in the world, a black man who hates himself with a police uniform on. Now, that's in Waycross, Georgia. Now, Bobby Worthy, who's coming on later, will talk to you not only about that case, because I'll be down there soon, but what we need in these cases. Because if you really want to take these cases to the level where they're supposed to be taken, that means every city we're operating in, the people have to be at a better stage of readiness to handle the problem of police brutality than when we came. We don't come in just for whatever, marches or demonstrations or just litigation. Litigation can come and litigation can go. Litigation has its purposes. It has its value. It has its attack power. It has its power to compensate. It has its power to make some reforms. It has the power to drag mayors and police chiefs and others to be accountable. Yes, being a lawyer and litigating holds some power in these damn cities, but it ain't all the power that we need. Demonstrations and activism hold power, but they can't be temporary. Our temporary demonstrations is killing the black nation. But every town now that I move in and roll in, we want to ensure that there's a permanent structure set up, permanent training set up, permanent what? Police patrols set up, permanent united fronts set up that deal with this problem and other problems. And so what am I saying here? Bobby Worthy here in Georgia is moving on now on Tuesday. He'll be on. He needs some support. He's filed some complaints against top judges in his area and dragged them into federal court for misconduct for attacking black elected officials. And he has, through his own study of the law and using the law, I'm sure the white man says abusing the law, but hell, the white man has abused it all his life. And so here comes one that goes, buck wild. Anyway, he'll be on. He's a lesson for all of you activists. If you want to tie up the officer Corey Gay in the Merritt case that I'm talking about in Georgia, he was suspended 5 days, but he was suspended 5 days due to the activism of Bobby Worthy. It was nice. Bobby Worthy who kept sending so many damn letters on him, kept doing so much Freedom of Information research on him, kept complaining, kept bothering so much that they had to cite the man and bust the man, and that really paved the way better for the man's lawsuit. This is the combination that we can team up on this beast. All we need now is live street patrols, and we need every citizen with their video camera. And so, you know, this is the police. This is where we are in that struggle. This is where also we can go. And, you know, I'm blessed to work with other attorneys now. Howard Woodson in Virginia and Greg Latimer in Washington, D.C., Reginald Green down here in Georgia, there and Muwali Davis in Atlanta, Kevin Goldie in New York. The network is building. It's not quick and fast overnight. But also, Minister Sean, what I want to say when I get off this, as I answer this question or leave this question, is that it's not just about law. It's just about me positioning myself as Attorney General to organize the lawyers. But right now, at this state and time, the whole war against police brutality and pushing back against it, it depends on the warriors. It depends on the warriors. You know, and so black riders, black Panthers, black Muslim, black men, all of you, it's time now that we stand up and deal with this problem, because we can deal with this problem and we can deal with it effectively, and we have to.
Yes, sir. Attorney Shabazz, tell us the black lawyer position on what's happening with Sister Marlene Pittock. That's the 51-year-old black woman out of California who was being pummeled on the side of the road and happened to be caught on videotape. Did you hear anything about that, the sister that got beat on the side of the road at a highway patrol in California?
Brother, I did see that. And I can say this, brother. I'm going to say this from a spiritual position, because the highest law is the law of God. The law of the United States Constitution is the prevailing law in this land. But it is superseded by the laws of God. Now, the law of God say, as thou hast done, so shall it. The law of God say, as you have taken our blood, you shall have your own blood taken like water. You shall drink your own blood like water, as you have taken our blood. Now, when you see a white police officer beating a black woman down like that mercilessly on the side of the highway, excessive force, obviously no threat to the man, and he is beating the hell out of her, your very nature from God demands you to want to see him beat like that.
That's true.
And you're not a man if you don't want to see that, because that's justice. Justice is the sowing of what one reaps. Justice is, if you beat me down, you get beat down also. And so, it is what it is. That is the law of God. That is the law of justice. That is the law of Jesus, who says, as thou, Jesus, who says, that which you sow, that shall you also, what, reap. That's how those judges judge that case, Almighty God and his Christ. And you know what Muhammad says about it. He says it in the Holy Quran. Fight with those who fight with you. Be not of the aggressor. Surely Allah does not love the aggressors. But retaliation is prescribed for you in the manner of the slain. Wakatilu, wakatilu fi sabilillahi latina, yukatilunakum. Fight in the way of God, in the way of those who fight with you. And
that's
so
right.
That's what God has to say about it. That's not Malik Zulu Shabazz, that is the Bible and the Holy Quran. And all I can say is, you know, lawyers have their role. I mean, lawyers have their role to represent a woman like that, to speak out on behalf of a woman like that, to litigate on behalf of a woman like that, to legally persecute a cop who would violate her like that. But you know, all of this, my dear brother, is what we call survival. We are just surviving, and we must play defense, and we must survive. We are on the defensive in America. We are on the defensive. But ultimately, separation has to be a part of the realistic discussion, you know, which is another subject, because America will not be reformed. I mean, we can make some changes in the system. We can raise up some patrols. We're going to have to. We're going to have to fight all we can, litigate all we can, demonstrate all we can, fight back as best we can. But the odds of the justice system heavily against us here. But ultimately, separation and a nation of our own, either here or in Africa, is going to be our ultimate solution, dear brother.
Yes, sir. The best and only solution. Thank you. Attorney General, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. The number for the night is going to be 646-478-4447. 646-478-4447. We will take your phone calls here. Attorney Shabazz, I want you to please talk a lot, if you can, about the Book of Khaled. Now, you've mentioned that for a couple of months. I know that's a tedious work, and it's not something that's happened overnight. But tell us what the goal is with that, the importance of that, and soon how we can support you and get with that. The Book of Khaled.
Yes, sir. The Book of Khaled is in the works. And it is called the Book of Khaled because I desire, and the desire is of those who are working on this book with me. I'm talking about Minister Hashim Nzinga. I'm talking about Brother Uno, the prophet. I'm talking about Sister Tina Hassani Muhammad. I'm talking about Brother Sean Kwali and others. Our desire, Brother Patrick Delacis, the master transcriber. Our desire is to put Minister Khaled Abdul Muhammad in the context, brother, of where he deserves to be. He deserves a Book of Khaled as much as we deserve the Book of Job. We deserve the Book of Khaled as much as we deserve the Book of Ecclesiastes, the Book of Numbers, the Book of Deuteronomy, the Book of Leviticus.
Right.
Oh, you done lost your mind, Attorney Shabazz. That's why I disagree with you. You done lost your mind. No, I say you lost your mind.
Boy.
To believe that God can only appear to somebody 9,000 miles away 2,000 years ago, that God could only be there but could not be with you. But I have seen God with the black man and woman of America. And I did not see Job, though I respect Job. I did not see David, though I respect David. I did not see Joshua. I did not see Caleb. I did not see John the Baptist, though I respect them. But I received Elijah. I received Garvey. I received Malcolm. I received Stokely and Huey and H.R.A.P. Brown. I received Farrakhan. I received Dr. King. I received Harriet Tubman. I received Rosa Parks. I received Angela Davis and all of those. They came amongst me. They came and talked to me in my condition. And so the Book of Khaled celebrates the divine man. And it documents a divine work, and it will be in its divine context. But damn it, you put on your shelf your Old Testament, your New Testament, your Bible, and your Quran, and after that, you're going to put up the Book of Khaled.
Go ahead.
Because it's going to read like that. Chapter and verse, and his words will be immortalized. Because he taught what is called sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine.
He didn't say, he said, I didn't come with a dance and a song. I came to place the blame squarely where the blame belongs. He said,
I didn't come
to lighten up. I came to tighten up. I didn't come to dilly-dally. I didn't come to pussyfoot. I didn't come to beat around the bush. That means he gets straight to the point. And in this time with so many goddamn confusing ideologies, every goddamn where, we need an ideological marker. We need a book and a scripture. We need a book and a scripture that sets the doctrine from here for the next 500 years. And I'm here to tell you that a man came amongst us who only appears amongst the human population every 500 years or so. And I'm here to tell you that a man came amongst us that taught such a pure teaching and a pure revolutionary black nationalist and, if you will, black supremacist doctrine, that his teaching needs to be immortalized and put in its proper context, and it needs to be studied for hundreds of years. And so I'm glad to be working on under Shabazz Publishing to publish his immortal words. His immortal words from his Black Holocaust speech, 1994, Howard University, when the pressure of the whole world was on him, the pressure of everybody was on him, pressure of his own group on him, pressure all on him. And I saw a man who stood up under the pressure, stood up and delivered under the pressure, and his words on that night and that day and what he did and what it meant, his words need to be immortalized. I have seen the divinity in this man, and I am happy to be on the edge and working on the edge of getting his 12 best speeches out from all of his phases in life, from the Nation of Islam period, such great speeches as Father's Day for the Black Man, from the Final Call Builder, South Africa, the Wicked Offspring of America, from the Final Call Building, other great speeches, King College, other great speeches, the Million Man March preview from the Black Holocaust Conference right before the Million Man March. You may not have saw him at the Million Man March, but damn it, you damn sure saw him the night before, and he gave a brilliant and a classic speech that will be measured years into time as an on-point speech. He always told me, say, Brother Malik, they are rejecting us right now, but one day they will watch these videos and he will say that the positions we took were correct. And oh, how his words have come to pass. So as I say, this book is needed, brother. Not only is it a respectful, long overdue tribute to him, but it's a needed manual for the mindset of our people, and it's also a needed manual for the mindset of those in the conscious movement, because some of them have lost their mind. Some of them are saying that interracial marriage and interracial dating and making all kind of excuses for marrying the daughters of our slave masters, for marrying the goddamn devil. And we'll get on here and make all kind of goddamn excuses for marrying a goddamn devil in the year 2014. Studying all kind of foreign ideologies, foreign doctrine, foreign goddamn teachings. Hell no. The Book of Kali must come out because we need a theological and an ideological watermark, a theological and an ideological compass to tell us how to goddamn think again.
Go ahead.
Think again so we don't get taken off track. You know, and it's just, it goes on and on, brother, why the book is needed. I used to call him, even in his day and time, I used to call him, you know, he was called by attorney Alton Maddox, who will be interviewed for this book, and his words will go in the book also transcribed. His witnesses, the book has a certain amount of witnesses from all periods in his life, and that will also make up the Book of Collins. Okay? But attorney Alton Maddox called him, on one hand, he was a compass. He was a compass in the movement. He could tell you where he was a watermark. He's an anchor. So if you get too far out to sea, you know where the hell you at by hearing his teaching.
Real talk.
You don't get out here with all these funny style, goddamn twisted and mixed up ideologies. He bring you right back to black. Bring you right back to black. He's also the conscious. The conscious of the movement, and every movement must have a conscious. Every movement must have a watchkeeper or a gatekeeper so that we don't get bullshit mixed up with revolution.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And so I always call them a reformer, a reformer, and in another sense, the mujahideen of the movement, because he is one that can was qualified and born to take a look at all of this that we're doing, and he can weigh it and measure it and put us on the right path. You know, that's just the role God gave him. You know, that's just the role God gave him. He used to say we were dinosaurs. He said, Brother Malik, you know, we're like dinosaurs. We were like dinosaurs. And that damn it, this dinosaur doctrine. Separation is a dinosaur doctrine. Only the black woman, only my black queen and my goddess. I don't want a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned, buttermilk complexion, straight-up, straight-down, iron and bore, flat backside, no thrills, no frills, caucasoid, mutinoid, subject to have the itch, white cave, bitch, as he told.
That's
He told, he said, we don't want that. That's a dinosaur doctrine today. All black organizations. Mm-hmm. That's a dinosaur doctrine. Pan-Africanism and the end of imperialism. Combat boots and fatigues. Black. Just black. That's a dinosaur doctrine. And goddamn it, these dinosaurs is going to come to life on your ass. This is the only teaching worth following. This is the only teaching worth organizing around. And it's the only teaching that's going to get us free. That's black consciousness, black nationalism, that's black power, that's some black Islam, some black Christianity, some black God, some black Hebrewism, some black woman, some black land, some black guns, and some black power. That's the only thing that's going to get us out of this condition.
That's right.
You go ahead, black man. Y'all got me fired up. Y'all know I'm getting the Holy Ghost on Black Power Radio. Just being on Black Power Radio, man, it's a revival to my soul and my spirit.
Oh, man, you reviving us, black man. I want to bring in a national chairman, a man who you know very well, who we all know, your former national assistant, national chief of staff, man, has labored with you for all these years. We got to bring him into the conversation. Let's bring in the national chairman, General Minister Hashim Odinga. Black Power, sir, you with me?
Give me 1 minute. I was forwarding all my calls to Attorney Malik Dulu Shabazz. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, no problem. We'll hold. we'll give him 1 minute. We'll do with that, Brother Attorney General. We'll take one call and give him time to get in because he wants to get in on the conversation. We'll take the call here, Eric Cole, 678-670-678-670. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. You're talking to the Attorney General of Black Lawyers for Justice and this Black Power movement. Attorney Malik Shabazz, come on over with your question, your comment. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. You can hear me, brother?
Oh, no doubt.
Brother Malik, I just want to say it's an honor and a privilege and a joy to hear from you. I always enjoy hearing from you. You know, you got the spirit of Dr. Collin. I must say I'm a young brother, and I take the same mantra as Dr. Collin when you say I was born to get a white man hell to the cradle to the grave. So I take that with me wherever I go. But my question is to you, what can we do for us in the term of separation in the legal field? Is there any kind of, you know, dealing with the law of America that we can kind of push that onto America and dealing with Africa or whatever? Because God willing, I'll be moving to Africa and Ghana during the fall or whatever. And, you know, some, it's not really good. You know, put it like this. We still treat it like foreigners. But if I got some guys on the ground deal with, like, the repatriation and investing in Ghana, but, you know, it's for us like what they call dual citizenship, and that's nothing but a, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that, but changing the laws in Africa that we can be considered full citizens with other African country we decide to go to. That's my question to you. Or whatever. Well, Black Power, brother, I love you, and hold the line and stay strong, brother.
I love you too, black man, and appreciate your words. My answer to that is that separation is a process, and it's a process that must be taken more serious by us as leadership, and we must have much clearer, constructive steps towards the goal of a nation of our own, and we must have a separation program. Now, for many years, the position of the elders in our movement has been for separation, or a plebiscite. That is the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is still in the Black Muslim 10-point program. That is the teaching of the Black Panther Party program for a plebiscite or a vote for a separate territory for black people in the 60s. Certainly it is in the new Black Panther Party program today, as it states that our enemy is absolutely disagreeable to live with in peace, and no one has been able to get along with the white man, and it prescribes separation. And in constructively viewing that, we must say that we have made the calls for separation, the cries for separation, and that has been the extent of it up to this point in the year 2014. Along the way, there have been many tricks that have been played, and there has been an intentional effort by society to derail the separation program. We must be honest. There has been integration. There has been the offer of race mixing. There has been the offer of friendship in society. There has been Social Security money. There have been food stamps. There have been trinkets, as what the Bible calls, giving the crumbs off the rich man's table to Lazarus, so Lazarus won't want to go free because he is dependent on an intentional program of the U.S. government to keep us subservient and dependent in America. And so the question is right now, for those of us who know the truth and to know the way, what should we be doing to forge a way for the day when Social Security runs out and is running out fast, when Section 8 vouchers will not be automatic, when TANF or temporary assistance for needy families is going to be up. They won't be temporary no more. It's going to not exist at all. America is trillions of dollars in debt. White racists in America have long grown tired of what they call a nigger president. And white people are anxious to get back at the power controls of America in person. Not that they ain't there now, but they ready to get all the way back. Put their white funky feet back up in the White House. And what that means is that you are going to even be in a more precarious position. And when we see white faces back in power in the White House, then that's going to create a better environment. I'm hoping it's going to create a better environment. It's either going to create a better environment for separation, or it's going to create a new group of Hillary Clinton Negroes on the plantation. But either way, I say that harder times are coming, which is right environment for separation. What am I saying? In America, my dear brother, the legal options that you have inside of the United States of America primarily rest, in my judgment, with associations or relations that we can have with the native peoples who already have legal rights to certain parts of America, or reservations or territory that have been legally set aside for them. And many of them we know. And some of these areas, they can be used to make arrangements with to cut deals on, to live on, and to farm for ourselves and train for ourselves and other things amongst those in the red nation who haven't been bought out on the casino. And so our focus, it should be, if you're really going to ask the legal question and the legal option, even though we don't do it for legal reasons, we do it for spiritual reasons and revolutionary reasons. We are already linked with Warrior Woman. We are already linked with sisters like Yonazdaha, Lone Wolf, and others. We have connections with the Red Nation. And my objective would be, as I go forward in my career, and others, is to strengthen ties with the Red Nation. That I am. I can't say what everybody else should do. I will tell you that I am going to be strengthening the depths of my ties with the Red Nation as I pursue other options of separation. Now, Africa there are the forms of independence that we can exercise in America also. We have not nearly enough maximized the love of black, the support of black, and the building for black inside of America where we are in the majority numbers right now. We have totally wasted these opportunities. And so it's going to be hard to take us seriously that we're going to go somewhere else, that we're going to go to Azania, or we're going to go to Zimbabwe and cut a deal with Mr. Mugabe. He's going to give us some of his territory over there, and we're going to all of a sudden come over there and do some great work over there. God damn it, we're not even doing it right here. In the areas that we are the majority population in which we could exercise some degree of black nationalism here. And so, once again, you know, so let me go abroad and I'll come back home and I'll leave that question. What I will say is that we have a worldwide Pan-African convention coming up in 2015. In 2015, in June, the 12th through the 20th, that all of us who are serious about African liberation, that all of us who say we love Africa, well, we're going to be in Africa. And you know, if I come on the radio and if me and Minister Sean Quali and our brother, I'm hoping he's out. I don't know his status in this hour, but I hope that y'all have, or tell me his status, but our prayers are with King Samir in this hour, because he was one of the pioneers who went to Africa with us. And our prayers are with him in this hour. And so what I'm saying is that if we say we're going to Africa, you got to take us seriously, because you've seen it and you know we got the connections and you know we're going to be there. And now you got to do right now, 10 months in advance, 10 or 11 months in advance, all you got to do is make up your mind that you are real about what you say you're real about and you'll be with us. You do not have another Africa trip or mission that can, that, no disrespect to anybody, but you do not have another Africa trip or mission that you can look at and say that will be more impactful on your life or world events than the one that we're planning. There's nothing else on the agenda from any other groups between now and next June. You got to go to Africa with us. And we are organizing feverishly to make it very clear that it will be the place to be in June 2015, Worldwide Pan-African Convention in Azania, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. And so if you're serious about land and you want to go and see where the boldest black man on the continent of Africa and the boldest black man on the planet, our president, His Excellency Robert Mugabe, if you want to see how he does it and if you want to see what he has to offer, Mugabe, then you got to go to Africa. If you say you are a revolutionary and you say you are black conscious, cannot miss out being baptized in the liberation struggle of some of the coldest, most efficient, conscious, legendary group of strugglers and revolutionaries that have ever come amongst our people. And those are the freedom fighters who fought the apartheid government, the freedom fighters who fought the Rhodesian government of Ian Smith and the apartheid government of F.D. de Klerk and wicked P.W. Botha. These soldiers and elders, many of whom are passing amongst us, from amongst us, but their children are here. And some of them who are here, who fought the enemy toe-to-toe and drove him either to the negotiating table or drove him out of the continent. And so you have to go. You really have to go, but this is much bigger than that. We're talking about revolutionaries and organizers from around the world, young ones, new blood, new life, as well as elders, that will come together for our international congress, our international strategy session. Not some goddamn, let me not say that. Let me just say this. This is be real. June 2015, if you're serious about separation, you'll come over there to Africa with us, our host of the most revolutionary Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. You stay tuned to Black Power Radio, our Facebook site, our website, and we will let you all know about the Worldwide Pan-African Convention. But right now, to conclude on this question, if we're serious about separation, you have to be serious about black nationalism. And you can't say that you're serious about separation in a nation of your own if you're not doing the basics of black nationalism. And so right here where we are, where, again, are the fundamentals? Where are the fundamentals? The Buy Black campaigns, the other kinds of self-education campaigns for our youth and our people, the setting up of independent schools, setting up of programs in our community to educate and to serve our people. Where is the black agenda in the ghettos and the hells of North America amongst the black population? Hey. So my cry to all of you, as fancy as we get, we have to get back to basics. There's basic things called development, defining the black interest, developing the black interest, and defending the black interest. Knowing who the hell we are and what we got to do and what our divine mission is and knowing who our enemy is, as well as developing programs, developing organizations, developing institutions for our people. That's what I'm trying to do right now with Black Lawyers for Justice. That's what I'm trying to do right now with Shabazz University, an online university. That's what I'm trying to do right now with Shabazz trade and business efforts. When you see me on Facebook building and repairing homes and real estate, what I'm saying is we can't complain about just merely complain. We must complain about the white man and real estate developers and others pushing us out of the city under gentrification. But what I'm saying, as much as we got to protest against gentrification, you got to get some land in your hand and start building on that land. Otherwise, you're going to get wiped out. And so when you see me building and encouraging others to build and build on the land, these are the basic building blocks of black nationalism. These are the basic building blocks of black power. And when we get our own nation, we'll do this on a much larger level, you know. And so that's where we are in this hour, I believe, on that question of separation. We have to get back to the fundamentals of black nationalism, and we have to upgrade our efforts to enforce and to produce black nationalism and black power in the ghettos and parts of America that we control, or that we are at least situated on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to bring in the national chairman of the Black Panther Party, Minister Hashim Nzinga, so you can get on this conversation. Chairman, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
All right. We can hear you.
Right here. And I just want to say that I want to thank my big brother, Attorney Malik Dula Shabazz, for being who he is. Being consistent since the day I met him as a young warrior. And we say this, we make these statements, but some people just take them for granted. It's just a statement. No, these are not statements. We're talking about writing history, rewriting history, and we're blessed in this hour to be able to define the future of our great people. And when I met Attorney Shabazz on the campus of Howard University, it's amazing that nothing has changed in his spirit, in the fire, in his voice. Most of the time as you get older, you get more money, you get more power, you get more relaxed, you get more laid back. He acts as if he's a freshman on that college without the fur coat. I said all this in a very, very spiritual way because I didn't want to come on earlier because I wanted to hear my brother, because he's a knowledge gangster, and he learned from the greatest knowledge gangster. And he's a history hitman, and he learned from the greatest history hitman. He's alive. You know the rest, Sean. We're talking about a living Attorney Malik Dula Shabazz, who's on the ground with a sound mind and has worked through this maze called America unscaled and has never lightened up, but I always have tightened up. There's something spiritual about him since the day I met him. There's something spiritual about him today. And what I'm proud to announce on Black Power Radio, he just begun. He has just begun to develop all of what's been put in him. Dr. Khalid Muhammad told us one day this will all be yours. And Malik talked to me a lot of times in the last 5 or 6 years about, brother, it used to be so easy, brother. I seen him in the 90s. He said we had Amos Wilson. We had Betty Shabazz. We had Brother Naeem Akaba over here. We had Johnny Henry Clark over here. We had Steve Cook. We couldn't go into a city without going to dinner with 5 or 6 revolutionaries that was already there teaching. But now the dry bones in the valley, it seems that the valley is full of dry bones. And so Attorney Malik Dooley-Shabazz on this night on Black Power Radio, I just say this. It's clear now. It's not confusing. The water is not muddy. That is your hour and our hour to do the work that we were chose to do. I have never seen you be a coward, but I have never seen you not go somewhere not prepared intellectually, physically, and mentally, but most of all, spiritually. So I say in this hour, you open up with one of the greatest topics you could open up with, the cell phones, the iPhones. And I'm so glad that the Supreme Court justice said it's illegal for this white man to grab your phone and to go into your phone, to mess with your phone. I know it's going to be borderline, but they said it's illegal for them to go into your phone without a warrant. So that gives more clarification to Attorney Shabazz telling the soldiers and our people in the streets, use your phones as the weapon they say it is. It's a weapon to get their ass arrested. I never forget Brother Shabazz going into a church in Atlanta, Georgia, after I think so, Queen was shot down.
Is that him or me breaking up?
It might be me, but let me straighten it up. He told Shirley Franklin, and he told the police chief, you got a problem. And Sean, after they shot a 92-year-old woman down like a dog, illegally, it set her up like a dog, a real live trading place, like the movie of Denzel Washington. They put a bunch of people in church.
Got a bad connection there, Trevor.
Second. Let me jump in.
All right, turn it in.
Let me say this. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
He'll call back. He'll call back, and this is a good time to celebrate some other victories. And I think, is that him still on the line back there? What I want to do is, I want to say this about Minister Hashim Nzinga, even though he's not on the line. I wanted him to hear it. But nevertheless, another victory that we can celebrate in this hour is the leadership of Minister Hashim Nzinga and Minister Sean Kwali and Sister Amira and the others, who names I might not call right now, who are helping to run the new Black Panther Party and have stepped up in their leadership. And I think that, is that him on the line? Sound like something breaking up. Anyway, I want to say this. I want to commend Minister Hashim Nzinga. I want to commend the Central Committee of the New Black Panther Party and all those that are really standing up and doing the work in this hour. And I would say that many good things are being done that I've seen, and many new opportunities are being developed that could bode well for the future. The initiatives to form the New Black Panther Party security units and to get brothers in the Panther Party some jobs, that has been unprecedented. And Panthers having some jobs and doing the security work is something that was long promised and finally appears to be coming to light. We want to commend on that. The New Black Panther Party relationship with the hip-hop community, with the rap community, is an important relationship. And that's an important relationship that looks good for the future and is going strong in this hour. And so I want to say that those are bright spots. Obviously, we have a more mature and a more developed Minister Sean Quali. I knew that would happen because it always happens when the pressure of the job falls on you. You automatically begin to mature and develop and get wiser with who you are in the movement when the responsibilities of leadership are placed more squarely on your shoulders. I do want to thank Minister Hashim Nzinga and Minister Sean Quali, and I will say that my prediction is the best is yet to come. Brother Bobby Worthy, that's what I want to do. I want to bring Brother Bobby Worthy. He's on a 912 line. Until we wait for our chairman, Hashim, to come back, let's bring Bobby Worthy on. And let's
hear
our warrior, Bobby Worthy.
I'm here.
Who is that?
Chairman is on. Yeah,
hey, Malik.
You're on now.
Let me say this.
Hold on.
Hold
on, Brother Bobby. This is Minister Hashim.
I want to hear from Bobby, too, because I hadn't heard from Bobby since we went down to White Cross. But I want to say this, Brother Malik, and this is very serious for this hour, and our people need to listen. When we have a brother, Jamil Amin, in the hell holes of Denver, where Attorney Shabazz has traveled as an attorney to go see brother Dr. York, he's been to that prison. He knows that dungeon. He knows what those crackers are doing. And for the revolutionary world to be so quiet, Brother Malik, as they have taken one of our greatest teachers, greatest and most courageous leaders, who told them violence was as common as an apple pie or cherry pie, who told them if they didn't come around, we'll burn them down. That's Brother Jamil Amin, Brother H. Ralph Brown out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But look at what God is doing. He brought this little guy to us, Brother Malik, little Boots. Brother Malik, I want to give you this on record. We took 50 pastors in the Baton Rouge 2 weeks ago in an armored truck that holds 20 people. They had 100 Baton Rouge pigs surrounding this place, and these pigs are just Boosie because he talks bad about the police. And they told Boosie, when he come back to Baton Rouge, the police was going to do something to him. And when that armored truck opened and them pastors started falling out, and we had over 40, 50 pastors, little Boosie went on that stage and called them crackers devils to their face. And I encouraged people and rappers to start back the Public Enemy, start back the old Ice Cube, start back the Dead Prayers, start back the Poets, bring back, reach back and grab our brother Gil Scott Heron and let him know that it's one in America. Brother Malik, I'm telling you now that Brother Marcus Roach, who you have represented and talked to, will be going to South Africa with us, the president and CEO of Trill Entertainment. And I'm telling you, we would not think this in this hour in 2014 when a young man is making $500,000 a week. But Brother Boosie talks about going to Africa every trip we with him, and our supreme captain encouraged him that we're going to get him there. So the minute that he gets the break, and I hope it's before June 14th, we are going to show the world that things are changing. And I want to just say this, Attorney Shabazz, me getting off probation and being able to travel city to city. I was depressed when we went to the Million Youth March, and that was my first time traveling in a year. And I didn't think the pastors did our chairman right. I didn't think they showed up like they supposed to. And I was depressed. And I was down when Attorney Shabazz had to make the great move and the great assignment that was divine by God to take this thing to the next level, as they heard earlier in the show and they were hearing the rest of the show, that he's on a divine mission, and when you're called, you have to go and do what you got to do. And until I start traveling, and thank God for little Bootsy who allowed me to travel financially and go to city and give me a budget to bring the pastors out and engage in something that we should be doing. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be quiet because I want to turn Shabazz to shine in this hour like our shining prince. But to get out here and know that since 9/11, since George Bush and the Jews exploited American people with 9/11,
and put fear in America. And billions and trillions of dollars have went into streetlights and cameras, and then they run this war, illegal war, for 20 years, and now they're bringing all these armored tanks, armored trucks back to our communities in the hood, painting them and putting police on them. So all that military that you bragged on, America and Iraq, and you bragged on in Baghdad, and you bragged on in Afghanistan, now it's going to be at your local 7-Eleven store park watching you. And all of those soldiers who are not police, but are military-trained killers, will be over your baby. And that's why the brutality that Attorney Shabazz talked about earlier is picking up. Now they have no big war going on. And it's not out of sync that them Jews will attack the Palestinians during Ramadan and start a war during the Holy Day, during the Holy Month. It's all over and over again in cycles. We just, nobody want to listen to our teaching and see what this man is doing. So we got the military now in our neighborhoods, and we told you, college told you, and many of us, great ones, told you that it was happening. So now our communities are militarized. And before they talk to you and you ask, officer, why are you stopping me? Officer, why are you doing this? He will bust your ass in the mouth, put that stick under your neck while the other officer tase you or pepper spray you. He will catch you coming off a train in Oakland, pull out his gun and shoot you in the head and say he thought he was reaching for his taser. We are in trouble if our people don't work up. But what I'm happy to say, Brother Shabazz, I'm not depressed no more. I'm not unhappy no more, because as I started to travel and go to Virginia, go to Kentucky, go to Cleveland, go to St. Louis, like you asked me to travel on every show you had while I was locked down, go to Central Florida, go to Southern Florida, go to Texas, go to all over the country since I've been out. Panthers are everywhere suited and booted. They were just waiting on the national team to start doing what national and regional people do. Attorney Shabazz begged us to get out of our city, go to our troops. When the troops see leadership, it fires their soul up. It makes them know that their work is worth what they're doing. And as I get to Brother Ali in California, as I get to Brother, our National Minister of Education, and Brother McHale, and as I get to Brother Durrell and Sister Polk and different brothers and sisters across the nation, Attorney Shabazz, I would tell you what college told us. These cubs in the bushes are grown and ready. They have needed your troops, your national field marshals, your national representatives to get off their butts and get to the streets and get to these cities and to help with this extraordinary intelligence level we've been on for years. They needed to hear from us. They needed to touch us. They needed to feel us and know we was real. We can't just send them emails and texts and tweets, because if you want to be a family, you got to go eat at the dinner table of some of these brothers and sisters and see their kids and see the face of their kids. So I say to you, Attorney Shabazz, your 12 years as chairman was not in vain. Your 7 years with Dr. Khalid Muhammad was not in vain. We are standing all over the country just waiting to be given instructions that will be coming down the pipe very shortly. Brother, we love you. It was so great to hear your voice. You made the bones in the Dry Valley shake up and start to get up. And hopefully before you finish this powerful show tonight, you have been there and woke up many that you will never get to hear from. You just keep teaching. I'm going to sign off and let you have your hour. And Black Talk Radio will always be yours. You know, there's a lot of leaders that started stuff, but they couldn't come back and use it as a tool. Anytime, and I told Brother Sean this week, you come back and you get on Black Power Radio, and the only reason you ain't been on it, for those who listen, because you told me to give you some time. And I'm so glad I gave you that time, because sometimes quiet time is not quiet. Black Power, Brother Shabazz. Black Power, we love you. We're going to see you sooner than you think.
Man, Black Power, Black Power. Love you, Minister Hashim and Zynga. I'm smiling in this hour, and I'm smiling because I know for a fact that Dr. Khalid Muhammad is smiling on us. And if he was here, he sure would be laughing and giving some high fives at the moves and the maneuvers of Malik Zulu Shabazz and Minister Hashim Nzinga, his two sons. I can still remember us sitting in the in the back of that car in Dallas, Texas, not long after he was shot. And he was there and with his wife at that time. And he was very, very happy on that day. And that's when you and I had first started to getting to know each other. And so, brother, I'm just happy to hear that you're doing well and that you're on the road and you're out under the grips of probation and that you're making a heavy influence where you are, that you're reaching the party members where they are. And I'm going to tell you all about this, what I know about Hashim and Zynga. Hashim and Zynga is not about the, he's not about the flash. He's not about the highlights. Hashim and Zynga really loves his people. He has his own way and his own style, but he really cares about his people. And he has a certain magnetism about him that keeps him in good company because people will love Hashim. Hashim is a sincere guy. And I would say his best efforts are certainly yet to come. And it takes me, it really takes me to do what I did to make way for the elevated Hashim and Zynga to step forth. You see what I mean? And as long as we have that attitude in the black nation, we'll go further. You see, it takes me to elevate or to go to my next position to allow the real Hashim and Zynga, the elevated Hashim and Zynga, to come forth. It probably couldn't have come forth under the shadow of my leadership. And that's why I did not want to dominate the new Black Panther Party leadership forever. You know, it's time now for us to be mature about institutions we're building in the black nation and allow others to come up and lead and represent. And as you know, I'm still right here as your chairman emeritus. And now we figure out how we're going to team up on the battlefield, and we're going to get out here and take this further. So I'm going to propose some suggestions. Then I want to bring Bobby on, because I think we might be running out of time. So we got to hear from Bobby. But I do want to say that these would be great times, that these are great times in the black movement. It's a great time, and we have a leader on the scene, Minister Hashim Zynga. He can stand side by side with his brother, Malik Zulu Shabazz. That's the way Dr. Khalid Muhammad wanted it. You have a more mature Sean Kwali. We pray to God that King Samir can get out of this goddamn jam he's in and get back to where he's supposed to be, which is helping and serving black people and not caught up in a lot of mess in this hour. So let me say this. This is why I need some help to get straight as time is running here. In Petersburg, Virginia, there's going to be a week dedicated to Hands Off to Black Youth in the name of Devin Thomas. And there's a whole week of activity developed to his case, getting his charges dropped, and building up the movement for police brutality in Petersburg, Virginia, which is a small black population-dominated town of 31,000. But they do not dominate the jury. They do not dominate other critical areas of power, even though it is a black police chief. Okay? Nevertheless, a movement is growing. So on the 22nd of July, first of all, if you want to know about, connect to what's happening in Petersburg, Virginia, you can call the Committee to Support Devin Thomas. And that number is 706, area code 202, 706-1373. Area code 202-706-1373. That is Imam Akbar, who is an activist who is working in Virginia region for this committee to support Devin Thomas. He's also the NBPP Minister of Justice and a few other things. He's running the, he's helping to run the movement along with Sister Lois Long, stalwart on the ground, and all of the other supporters of Devin Thomas, all of them. Anyway, they're going to be at the city council meeting on the 22nd in mass, jamming up the city council. On the 27th, there's a unity cookout that will be in Petersburg, Virginia. That's the purpose of getting all of the kids, all of the youth, everybody in the black nation behind the case. On Monday, they will, from what they're telling me, I'm not organizing this. I have nothing to do with this, but this is the schedule that they have given to me. They say that they're going to be at the prosecutor's office down there in Petersburg. You can call the number for information, but they will be at the prosecutor's office, and they will meet with the prosecutors. Special prosecutors have been appointed in this case, and they will be spoken to by members of that community, and they need backup. They need big-time backup. We want to know why this young man has been charged with these crimes for doing nothing wrong. Is there no justice in the state of Virginia? And so this is Devin Thomas Week, the 27th, the 22nd City Council, 27th, the cookout, the 28th, the meeting at the prosecutor's office, and the 29th, I will be there, and I will speak at the town hall meeting, which is a statewide town hall meeting called Justice for Black People in Virginia, and the issue of police harassment, and the general issue of justice. There will be activists and representatives from Norfolk there, from Richmond there, from Northern Virginia there, and for most of all, Petersburg itself. And for this major statewide town hall meeting, I will be there as we deal with these issues and organize further down the road. But those are the beginning steps of what we're doing in Petersburg. So what am I saying? I need help. We need help. You can call that number if you're in the movement. We got the legal end covered, but you can call 706-1373 for those who are in the grassroots movement who are supporting that, and for those who have a vision down the road of wanting to build a network against police harassment in Virginia, a network of cell phones, a culture of using cell phones in and video phones in Virginia, a network of those who want to begin police patrols, a network of those who want to study with Bobby Worthy knows the science of pressing these complaints and pressing these officers. We're going to make Virginia a testing ground for all of our top tactics, legal tactics for the FBI who's on the line, a training ground for all of our toughest legal tactics and street tactics, which are legal, against police brutality. So what I want to do now in terms of the agenda Tuesday, we need help with Bobby Worthy in Southern Georgia. We need some Jacksonville and all of them cities. We need some Atlanta and others to hear from Bobby Worthy, because I say that we should support his strong efforts there. And then that's all the help we need right now tonight. Now, I'll be in Central Florida, and I'm just putting Central Florida on notice on the Derek Washington case. You know, he jumped on and all his friends, he was shot in the vehicle by the police, unarmed, policemen, sick dogs on him with handcuffs on him, all of that is getting ready to come out big, you know, in a few days. In Central Florida, and so we're going to have to launch a campaign in Central Florida, and we need a campaign in Southern Georgia right now. We need a campaign in Central Virginia right now. You know, and there are other campaigns y'all have to do on your own. You got to run the Free King Samir campaign, and you got to run the Hannibal support campaign for those who are in the eastern region. These are what I say our needs in this hour. These are the states that are hot on the radar right now. Of course we need Washington, D.C. That's automatic. But I'm talking about down here in Central Virginia, Southern Georgia, Central Florida, and King Samir and Hannibal cases. So let's bring on Bobby Worthy. You know, let's bring on Brother Bobby so he can tell us exactly what's happened and what he needed. Let's bring on one of the great activists out here, Brother Bobby Worthy of the New Black Panther Party and the Justice League in Waycross.
All right, Brother Bobby, can you hear us? Black Power.
I'm here. Black Power.
All right, brother. Talk to us. Tell us what's going on.
First of all, I got to give honor to all our great leaders on the line. Our great General Hashim Kazima, the National Chief of Staff, and Dr. Malik Shabazz, and all the others on the line. what's going on now is it seems in Georgia they are attacking all the black elected mayors. They're coming with all kind of stuff, that does not even the scope of the duty. For what I'm down here now in Macon, Georgia, prosecute a case, I filed a complaint. I filed two criminal complaints against the mayor pro tem down here in Gordon, Georgia, and one of the judge, Superior Court Judge Reeves, out of Swainsboro, Georgia, for conspiracy. What he did is enter a TRO, a temporary restraining order, against the mayor and remove her powers. Be advised that Georgia law allows them to enter a temporary restraining order against somebody, but he has no authority to remove her power, and it's Mary Ann Whipple, and that's Gordon Mayor Mary Ann Whipple. He overseeded his authority on two occasions. On June of this year, June 2nd and July 3rd, he did not give the mayor a hearing, a due process hearing required by the 14th Amendment. He did not notify his he notified her attorney an hour and a half before trial. And when the attorney said he couldn't make it, he had other cases, he went ahead and had the hearing. Thus, he violated due process of law. So I went to the federal judge and filed two criminal complaints against both of them for conspiracy against one's right. According to the U.S. Title 18, Section 241, that makes it a federal crime that carries 10 years imprisonment for anyone to deny any citizen a right that's secured by the United States Constitution. This will take place in the federal courthouse tomorrow at 2:30, all major news media has been notified, and they will be there as well. It's going to be a lot of supporters, different organizations down there tomorrow at 2:30 at the Macon, the United States District Court in Macon, Georgia, at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. And that's basically it. I look forward to the challenge.
How can they reach you, Brother Bobby?
They can reach me at 912-424-0752. National Chair, Minister Kazima, I would love for you to be there. I have talked to people that would love to see your face. If you can make it, please notify me. I would definitely let the media know you would be there. I would do another press release tonight at midnight to get it out to the press, to let them know what's going on in a more detailed events of what's coming. But like I said, we need all the support we got. This has never happened. They have never seen this. Even when I went to the clerical court, she did not know what to do. I told her, well, then do what your job is, just file the paperwork. And the next day, the judge called and scheduled a hearing for July the 15th, which is tomorrow.
Well, what I want to tell y'all is that...
If you want to get the whole story, you can go to Boston GDR, and that's on YouTube, Boston GDR, and type in George Rimes on YouTube, and you can get the full story. You can see the interview from the news, the full uncut news report that the news only played on Channel 41, NBC only played half of it. Tomorrow I will expect all kind of opposition, but I'm used to that. But it'll never stop there. I know how to take it to the next level if I have to. Well, and today we went to file to the Judicial Qualification Commission to file 63 complaints. With the Judicial Qualification Commission, which is in Georgia. The Judicial Qualification Commission is the one that's over the judge to remove them. We went to file 63 complaints today. We could not find the office. The office does not exist, so we have to mail everything again until we find out what's going on. But the complaints are to have Judge Robert Reed, Superior Court Judge Robert Reed, immediately removed from office, either by himself or by force, because the law is clear. And I don't care what nobody says. The law is clear. The law clearly says when any form of government becomes destructive of its means and power, reverts back to the people, it is up to the people to alter, abolish, or institute a new government. I hereby tell you, you have been abolished.
All right, brothers and sisters. And so what you got to, this is how this thing is heating up, you know, in 2014. Bobby Worthy is taking it to him in southern Georgia, but he needs backup. And soon, I'm sure he'll be back here. We need to be trained on how to access the judicial system to bring accountability to these officers. Remember, I've been saying this for years about all of these police officers, and now he's doing it with certain judges. People that abuse us and violate us, we don't just let them go and just walk away. They don't let us go and walk away with nothing. And so some of these tactics which can glue up and tie up, goddamn dry up the system, is what Brother Bobby Worthy is legally and effectively doing, and he deserves support. And so I'll be down there to see him soon on the merit cases, but we support him in general in what he does. And bottom line is, you need to respond to that number and come on out tomorrow and help us out. All right? So let me say this. Well, we're almost running out of time. I'm going to turn it back to the host. If y'all want to reach me, I may take one more question, but I do want to give out a phone number. And I do want to say that if you have been harassed, beaten by, falsely arrested by, or someone has been fatally wounded by the police department of any city or county or sheriffs anywhere in the United States of America, give me a call, 202-434-4528, 202-434-4528. Or email attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com, attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. Or you can reach Black Lawyers for Justice also at 571. If you want to join this movement, call 571-223-9329. That means if you're a paralegal, if you're a lawyer, if you're really into the legal science of it, 571-223-9329. This is where those that actually are either lawyers or paralegals or investigators. But other than that, if you're an activist, call 202-706-1373. If you're just an activist that's against police brutality in your area and you want to join with us in mounting our campaigns for videotaping, for a host of other community activities, down to police patrol, text that number, 202-706-1373, as we're trying to build a nationwide campaign. And certainly for the 22nd through the 29th, we need the new Black Panther Party in Virginia every step of the way. I turn it back to the host, Mr. Stan Kwali.
All right. My comrade, my chairman, Matthews, and much more. I'm so thankful for the words that you dropped. I mean, these 2 hours, they go way too fast. I had so many more questions.
I come back. If things is getting hot now, so maybe in 2 or 3 weeks I come back. And I do want to make one more announcement. If you are a real live educator, if you're a person that is serious about education and you have either books for youth, you have research materials, and that you really have the time and the serious about building an online university for our youth and our people so that we can learn what we cannot learn in the university and school system. And if you're serious about it, I would like you to send an email in to me at attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. If you're serious about it, we need you on board with the project because it's moving, and it will be opening up on September the 1st. And it will be opening up on September 1st, and there will be links to that mighty, mighty website, www.newblackpanther.com and newblackpanther.org. But we need those who want to educate our youth and participate in the online university. There are going to be online classes. They're going to be lectures given by Dr. Jeffries, by Dr. Umar Johnson, by many others who will be coming on to teach the classes at different points in times. And the research will be there, and we have a path and a vision towards accreditation, real live accreditation. There is a serious mission here at stake. All right, dear sisters and brothers, man, thank y'all for having me on. I know he has plenty of announcements of what he had to do. I love the new Black Panther Party. I love you. I will always be here with you. I'm a Panther by heart, and I want to be out there on the battlefield with y'all. I want us out there in the battlefield fighting for the liberation of our people in the hills of North America. I love, respect you, and salute you. Salaam alaikum and Black Power.
Wa alaikum salam, Black Power, and salute return, the Attorney General. Brothers and sisters, that has been the Attorney General and, of course, Attorney at War, Black Lawyers for Justice, our Chairman Emeritus, New Black Panther Party, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and, of course, we are always eternally honored every time that he comes and talks to us. Black man means so, so much to us, so, so much to me, and I want to send it out there to the world. It's hands off. Malik Zulu Shabazz, let me make that clear. I know I didn't get a chance to get into a lot of the questions, but that's a black man that got a lot of friends, a lot of comrades, and he got a lot of foes and a lot of haters. And I want to just stretch that out there to you all listening, that we some guillotines of the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and it extends to him too. So when he's doing his work, leave him the hell alone and clear the path for him to do his work. Don't give a damn who you is. And so, you know, that's enough said on that. But we're thankful for him and thankful for the work that he's doing. We thank our National Minister of Justice, Imam Akbar Lal Kareem, who's working with him on a daily and consistent basis, and all of his helpers. And we will support New Black Panther Party. We will support, and we will be getting that pamphlet. He's been asking for so long for us to get that pamphlet on what to do when stopped by the police. That's going to be mandatory for all of us to purchase and all of us to have, just to exercise our legal first aid, legal rights, and to inform our people. You're not going to be able to duck going toe-to-toe with this beast and with this pig. And if you see us as an activist or an activator, an actionary, that's the first defense line of the state you're going to face and we're going to face. So, again, thankful to him and thankful to our national chairman, the General Minister Hashim Nzinga, for his tireless efforts and his work across this country, for the way that he's helping us to put this thing together, standing on the shoulders that he talked about, and the work continues. Now, I want to say the ranks are swelling, and we're happy that the ranks are picking up, and we're happy that people are joining into the movement. But I definitely want to tell you that if you have not got to the movement, you know, I know Jay-Z was out there in New York. He got a song called 99 Problems. But we got a whole bunch of problems, but registration and membership ain't one. And if you have not got on board yet and got with it, then the number to call is 347-903-0886. Again, 347-903-0886. Call us directly at our national line and get in touch with us. And register to continue this movement that Hoover and Daley and Coleman, all of them thought they destroyed. But we right back at you harder than ever and holding the line. And we have a spirit in us from the Black Power General that's an unbreakable spirit. It won't be compromising at any point, at any time. All new Black Panthers, stay tuned for all instructions. Major moves coming up from our national chairman, and coming up out of our National Central Committee. And all of you stay tuned to Black Power Radio as we keep these guests coming for you and keep your pro-black spirit pumping. A lot of people out there trying to choke that pro-black spirit and integrating and, like the Attorney General said, marrying on to the white woman and doing all this kind of craziness. Hell to the no. We stand as a reminder of what Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught you and what Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey taught you. what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught you, and what the best and the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan taught you. We tell you straight up, hell no, black man for black woman, black woman for black man, black nation for black people, and as the Attorney General says, black laws for all black people. NewBlackPanther.org is our website. Stay tuned to that, get with that, and help us. If you can help us get our next edition of our New Black Panther paper out, email us at newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com or call that number that I gave. And let's do this work. There's a lot of work to be done, a lot more to cover. We got to talk about what's happening in Chicago and other areas. As the national chairman said, the upcoming press for martial law, some of you calling for martial law. They even say our brother Roland Martin has his topics and thoughts on martial law in Chicago. We got to cover all this stuff. But at the end of the day, we got to survive. So it's black power for black people. And we say again, we say power to our people. And remember this, if black people are not free, there is nobody that's free. We say free King Samir Shabazz, who will be free here shortly by the grace of God. Free Hannibal Rashidine. We're working to get his freedom and get him out on the streets. And so I continue to support, continue to donate. Call again, 347-903-0886. You can go to MoneyGram or Western Union. And I sent a donation to Brother Jerry Jackson. His name is Jerry Jackson. He's handling that for Minister King Samir Shabazz. Send a donation, 20, 30, 50, 100, 1,000. Send your donation. Help us to get our comrades up out the penitentiaries and the prison pens of the white man's world. We'll do a song for Minister King Samir Shabazz. As we close out, we thank you for listening. Spread this around. Stay tuned. It's Black Power Radio.
Yeah. Got a round of truth for this one, man.
Black and brown berets.
So all my concrete gorillas.
Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble. PQ, we get to no time for staying humble. Street to it, take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Dan and to Anna with me gunning on his jungle. Black and brown berets, America, let's rumble. PQ, we get to no time for staying humble. Street to it, take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Dan and to Anna with me gunning on his jungle.
I'll never pledge of allegiance with the fake United States, so I got every bullet in gray, fuck the state. I'll never be deceased with the mark of the beast, and I'll never be a slave for the RFID. Before that, I shoot cops and die as a renegade, and supply the inner cities with knowledge and AKs, grenades, RPGs, you name it, we rise up, and to the